Hola, somos chicas políticas, two chicas, two friends talking politics, chisme, all the things that you want to know about what's going on, not just on our county level, which is San Luis Obispo County, but in the state, national politics, even international politics too.
Okay.
And I am here with my friend Rita. My name is Yesenia. And we've been doing this now for a while, and we're just so excited for all the new listeners that are joining us. And so if you ever felt intimidated by politics, maybe don't understand it, obviously right now there's a lot going on in our country on a national level, at a local level. And so we hope our podcast breaks down some of that language and that intimidation, and you get to learn about politics. You get to get immersed with us because we're both very politically active, and make it fun, make it lighthearted. We laugh, somos chistosas. Instead of crying, we laugh. So you'll hear us laughing a lot. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that has been a listener since day one or has been around with us for a while. And for all you new people, this is the perfect time to join us. So bienvenidos a todos.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. And I think that's a really good point of the topics that we cover, but also I know there's a lot of people right now that are so energized and wanting to get involved and just don't know where to start. So this is a great podcast to also do that, to figure out where to start, how to get involved, and then once to get involved, how to talk about politics, especially with the Latino community.
Yes, because we're so unique and we're so diverse, even in our own politics. Not everyone is a Dem. We have Republicans, we have independents, we have people that don't believe in the system, and they have every right to not believe in the system. And so I think definitely our goal is to continue that conversation of being inclusive of the Latino community, because we are a growing community. We have one of the youngest populations and one of the fastest growing populations in this country.
Yes, yes, yes. And just yesterday I was talking to a really mixed group of demographics, but talking about reaching out to the Hispanic community, the Spanish-speaking community, Latino community, to for the elections coming up, and kind of framing the conversation about voting rights. And a really great point was brought up that, you know, there's a lot of information out there that it's in English, that is really valuable, but very little literature that is available in Spanish. And not only translated into Spanish, but that it's culturally appropriate to get people into the fold. And I'm sure you've seen that a lot, too.
And for some that may not be aware, Rita, what does that mean, culturally appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
What is that for someone that's like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, so it's it's information that is not just translated from English through an English lens, written by people with, you know, born in the U.S. that speak English, but that actually considers the reader, their background. For example, for the Spanish-speaking community or for the immigrant community, culturally appropriate would be to make sure that it is Latino-led, which is something that we've talked about, the importance of making sure that movements, that your campaigns have leadership that is representative of the community that you're trying to reach out. And also that make sure that knows the nuances, like cultural nuances for the community. For example, for the immigrant community, one thing that has happened over and over again, and it's very sad, our identities are politicized with every election season, right? Mm-hmm. It happens every time there's election, which is actually every 2 years. And in between, we are being used as the ones that are stealing jobs, the ones that need to be deported, right?
Criminals, the ones,
yes,
rapists.
Criminals, mass deportation signs. You see them in some campaigns. They talk about anchor babies, right? How... Mm-hmm. You know, it just in the most horrible land. So making sure that when you talk to the community, you are not only aware of all that the campaigns have been saying about the community, but also how the community feels about politics and voting. Mm-hmm. And so all of that takes it's very rare that you can learn it if you don't grow up or don't live in that within the culture.
And I think you really hit it on the nail here, Rita, is that it feels like there's this excitement and interest for the Latino community, but it's only tied to election season.
Yeah.
It's only when candidates are getting ready to run. It's only when people are approaching and all of a sudden now they take a special interest in this population of folks that have been here, you know, for the rest of the year. They're here. Yeah. You know, it's been crickets from some folks.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important, Rita, because what I have noticed from people of color, and I think it goes from that generational trauma or having to be put in positions of power struggles, is that people of color are distrustful.
Yeah.
If someone comes up to them and says, hey, I want you to vote.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. Like, who are you? Who are you with? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Why are you doing it? Rita and I were talking about, there was literature that was asking for someone's ID. Well, if you're born here, asking for your ID is not a big deal.
Yeah.
But if you're not born here, and I'll let you touch on your concerns of that literal translation, but was not culturally appropriate.
Yeah. We were reviewing different information that we wanted to make sure that was available in Spanish, and the first, it was touching like six different things around voting rights, but the first thing that this pamphlet started with, like very top, was providing your ID, right? And then it goes into, well, you only need your ID when you are registering to vote, but you don't need your ID, no one should be asking for it. If you give that flyer to me and it's the first thing about voting that you that I'm reading with this interaction with you, and I have come from a mixed status family, which is my blood family is a mixed status family.
And let's just back it up a little bit, because maybe some people may not know what mixed status family means. Mixed status means that maybe I was born here in the United States, but both my mom and dad have no legal status. They are undocumented.
Yeah, and it could be undocumented. You could have some legal permanent residence, so people with green cards that are here legally. Some of them might have work visas. Some of them might be citizens, right? Mm-hmm. And I was, you and I became citizens. We weren't born with a citizenship, a U.S. citizenship, but we became American citizens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by definition, my family, you have undocumented people, you have legal permanent residents, and you have citizens. And so if you come to me as a, you know, there's like over 26,000 people in San Luis Obispo County that were born outside of the country. So the people that have immigrated into San Luis Obispo County. And then that number probably doubles or triples when it comes to mixed status family, right? Because that's a mix. And so if you try to reach out and the first thing that you talk about is ID, it's raising red flags for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a different ear when I'm trying to learn from what you want to tell me about than you know, what I have in my mind. And so I'm just going to be waiting for that moment of ease to be able to really connect with you. But if you start with that, it's already, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and it's all those things that gets me excited, Rita, that we're seeing Latinos, new faces.
Yeah.
There's a lot of excitement with Harris Waltz, and let's make that excitement into momentum. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that momentum means making steps forward. And what gets me excited, Rita, is that the Latino community has always been here.
Yeah.
Right? It's been a long history of being here, the backbone of... I'm going to focus specifically to SLO County. We are an agriculture-driven community. Who is out there making sure that those strawberries, grapes, pistachios are being picked?
Yeah,
out there in the hotels when Cal Poly is getting rushed because the freshmen are coming in and everything is sold out? Who's in the kitchens? Who's mowing the lawns? Mm-hmm. Who's taking care of your kids?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where I think there has to be that education component of, it's not about what I can get from you, but how can we better serve the community based on these elected positions, which was what you were talking about, what we were talking about at the last Chicas Políticas episode, which was phenomenal. We're talking about, what is the intent here? What is the plan? Mm-hmm. Because I think, too, on a local level and national level, Rita, I think a lot of people, especially when we talk about immigration for the Latino community, they've been let down. They're disillusioned.
100%. Even if you talk to someone that has been able to have successful careers, like we have, you know, our friend Susie has a doctorate, has mm-hmm. three amazing girls, has an amazing husband, have an amazing house. They just have, like, they have mm-hmm. really worked really hard and have been able to go through so many barriers to get with where they are and provide so much back to the community. That's not how you reach out to the community, right? Mm-hmm. Because it becomes so, like, monolithical type of seeing mm-hmm. the community, where we're mm-hmm. so much more, right? Mm-hmm. There's just so much more within us. But you're right, to the point of how long we've been here. Like, UC Merced had a study specifically on farm workers. This is just farm mm-hmm. workers. And it surprised me because they found that the median amount of years that a farm worker in their study had been in the U.S. is 20 years. 20 years is the median, you know? And I thought it was going to be like around 5 years, but it's 20 years that farm workers have been in the U.S. and 88% of them speak Spanish, 7% are of indigenous languages. And, you know, these farm workers are part of our mixed status families, right? Are part of our extended families.
And it's hard, Rita, to identify ourselves as American or be part of this community when there's a lot of xenophobic language.
Yeah.
And we're not included, right? Yeah. It's like, Bringing it back to, like, a local example, it's mm-hmm. like you look at the Paso Robles School District, who the majority of students are Latino. Yeah. It's a very Latino-driven community behind the scenes, in the shadows. But then parents and children don't have translations available at school board meetings.
Yeah.
And yet you want people to vote for you. You want people to support your campaign and do all of these things.
And how many people on the school board speak Spanish?
Fluently. And even if things go our way, well, I wouldn't say our way, their way, we will still not have a Latino.
Yeah.
And I apologize if I come off too harsh. But just know that none of this is personal. It's just a truth that needs to be told, Rita.
And it comes from your experience, and you and I
have talked about this, that this is never to say that we have equal privilege as a Caucasian person. Mm-hmm. But Rita and I can recognize that in the positions and the places where we stand right now, we have far more privilege than a farm worker.
Yeah.
Right? I've always said this, if I go into a steakhouse and culturally, Mexicans love their steaks well done. My dad will order a steak well done and he may get his steak rare. I will order my steak medium well. And if my steak is rare, I will send it back. I will send it back and ask for a new one, and I will ask for a discount. And if you don't want to give me a discount, then I'll ask for your general manager. My dad will just eat the steak, even if that's not how he ordered it. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the Latino experience.
It's a metaphor,
Of how people have survived.
Yeah.
That it's almost like that it's okay to be dismissed. It's okay to not have translations at school board meetings. It's okay to be an afterthought. Yeah. It's okay to get crumbs. It's mm-hmm. okay to have racist bosses mm-hmm. and to be treated this way. I think we've had a great awakening, Rita, which to me it started with George Floyd, but this awakening of the power struggles, the way that they're working, they're not for BIPOC people, and it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
So when you're reading those numbers of 20 years of farm workers, which is the medium, that also reminds me that in my household, we just started putting out the American flag. I think it was George Floyd that encouraged us to put out the American flag. We never associated our identity with the American flag. Mm. And now I make it a point to make it part of my identity because I'm just so tired of us being like a second citizen, a second class, like that we're not deserving to be Americans.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, when we're sharing all of this because this is everything that it's in our minds when you do outreach to the community, to the Latino community, right? Like, you have to, if you're listening and you're like, well, I was thinking about, you know, talking to people and having my flyers in Spanish, like, also know that there's a lot more that it's behind people's minds and a background and a history of getting those crumbs, of being a second thought, right? And the communications that you have and your outreach and your team has to make people feel the complete opposite. That's just like inclusion. And the sentiments that you share, I think, are extended to the whole immigrant community. I just talked to a lot of women of color at a gathering last week, and that is shared, you know? Moms who have darker skin and they just feel like they are being seen as demanding and pushy because they're asking for equal treatment to their kids that have darker skin than the other students, you know? It's not particular to the immigrant, the Latino community, but when you address the issue, mm-hmm. you really, and that's how inclusion works. When you include a community, you're also including others, mm-hmm. right? So something to keep in mind when you're thinking about outreach to the community. It's a lot more complicated than translating.
Yes, I think translating
it's a great step.
It's a great step, but Google Translate doesn't cut it, yeah. right? Even ChatGPT doesn't cut it. But the reality is that there has to be steps forward. But I also feel too, Rita, is that regardless of who's doing this work, that there is an intentional work being done and not scratching the surface, because mm-hmm. I also feel that if folks are going into these communities mm-hmm. and they don't deliver, then yeah. once again, that creates part of the systemic failure of why BIPOC, why Latinos do not participate, have mm-hmm. no faith in the system. And mm-hmm. I've heard this many, many times, Rita, that ¿por qué voy a votar si no importa si son demócrata o republicano, we're not going to get immigration reform? Yeah. Why even vote? Why yeah. is it important to vote if yeah. if it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Dem yeah. That's going to give us immigration reform?
Not only that, sometimes we've seen Democratic presidential candidates that say, oh, I'm all about you. And it's even mm-hmm. worse when they turn around like Barack Obama and actually have the highest numbers of deportations, right? And these are things that we have to talk about. You know, someone called it out through our Instagram, Alicia, and it's true. Like, and mm-hmm. all of that is in yeah. our minds.
And bringing it back to a local level, bringing it back to the local, because we can talk a lot about national. We can yeah. talk about a lot of local. As myself as a Latina, getting involved in the local school board mm-hmm. elections, seeing the blunt racism that was happening, seeing that there was a possible school closure in a historical mm-hmm. Latino and Black neighborhood, and supporting who I thought were great candidates, only to be disillusioned and to be, even corrected by one of the men, correcting me about my identity of what type of term I should use, whether it's Latino, Hispanic, or Mexicana. And this was a white male who I supported, who is now correcting me on my identity.
What?
And it's just been so
the capacity.
It's been so disappointing, Rita, that it's like even people who you thought you could trust, people who you supported, people who you gave resources to, is doing these things, you know? And that's why it's like, for me, I'm not giving any Paso Robles school board candidates my endorsement. Zero. Zero endorsements. Because this is a prime example on a local mm-hmm. level mm-hmm. that the cohort that was elected mm-hmm. has been utterly disappointing. At the time, we did have a plan. We did have an intentional plan to say, this is the goal. You are getting elected because we want you to focus on BIPOC community. We want you to focus on the Latino community. Mm-hmm. We want you to save a school. And guess what they did? They voted to close the school down. Mm-hmm. That impacted our community.
And let me guess, so there was no conversations with the community about
Let me tell you why. During... Why is it that during the election process, during campaigning, mm-hmm. they're available? They will text you. They pick up the call. All of a sudden, they get elected. It's like pulling teeth, trying to even have a meeting with them, having to have a conversation with them.
Color me shocked.
And it's one of those things, right? It's one of those things, Rita, that even for me, as someone who's educated, someone who is involved, who gets it, who tries to be as fair as possible, that it's to a point, Rita, right now with this upcoming school board election for Paso Robles, I'm not giving anyone my endorsement. I'm so disillusioned, so disappointed. The distrust is real.
Yeah.
And I hope people can see people for who they are. It's merely not enough to get people elected, guys. Mm-hmm. I have felt this way for a very, very long time. We will not get equity specifically for the Latino community in Paso Robles until we get someone to run and win an election that is bicultural and understands our community, that can speak fluent Spanish, mm-hmm. that has a relationship with the Latino community, mm-hmm. and has a proven track record to give a damn about our gente.
Yeah.
Straight up, because 100%. I'm tired of the lies.
100%. Like, I have friends who have gone into politics who I won't give endorsements to now, because I have seen, if you're listening to this, if you're having an issue contacting or getting a meeting with your representatives that are currently campaigning, or new candidates that are currently campaigning, if they don't want to meet with you, let me just tell you, they're not going to meet with you once after election.
And even if you're not on the same camp, even if there's an R or a D in front of that person who has won their election, part of being an elected official, you take meetings with constituents.
Yeah.
It is part of your job. I don't want to hear that, well, I got on school board and I have kids and I have a job and I don't get paid for this position.
Why did you get in the school board?
I'm spread thin.
Yeah.
Then guess what? You have confirmed that you are the wrong person. Step down.
Yeah.
Do not run for office if you are not prepared to run for office, especially in these times.
Yeah.
And bringing it back to what we're saying to the Latino community is that important decisions are made, whether it's on school boards, city council, supervisors, Congress, Senate, president. There are consequences to the elections. And as much as we always focus on the institutions as being consequences, guess what? At the last school board election with Paso Robles, there's consequences. Consequences, in my book, Rita, means no one gets my endorsement.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm also very, very not particular about giving my endorsement too. Unless you're someone that I really have hope, like new candidate, that I have hope for, that I have worked with, that I have talked with you personally, and I know what you stand for, I might give you my endorsement. Like, Rita, shout out to Jamie Maraviglia running for city council in Arroyo Grande.
I am so disillusioned,
but
Rita.
If you haven't said anything for a ceasefire, you do not get my endorsement. You do not get a dollar of me. Don't even call me. And if someone right now that is listening is like, oh, I'm going to reach out to Rita on October to get the Latino community out because I have no one in my campaign. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Rita has been really good about saying no.
Yeah.
And she means what she says.
You come this way and I'm going to send you that way because...
But you know what, Rita? Even like for me, my personal experience... is, and I think this is why people get turned off to politics, because I've heard it many times. I don't like politics. I don't like it because I have personally witnessed this on a local level, the hypocrisy and the lack of care once elected.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
The transactional aspect of it.
The transactional aspect of it. And that turns people off, right?
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell people, it is very disappointing to see people be hypocritical and be shady AF. And I keep on saying this. I hope I can have influence over people. But people are going to be who they are. People also show you who they are in a position of power.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
one thing that Obama did say,
It's telling, right?
Yeah.
So I hope y'all, if you just check that, if you circled your ballot and you have not checked in with that person who is now in office, guess what? You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Check in and make sure that they actually are doing what they promised. Mm-hmm. Check out to those people, check in with those people that were active mm-hmm. in those campaigns and see if they have followed up, because as someone who has followed up and has continued to do the work, I am so disappointed that, like, that people do change. People flip on you.
I don't think they change. I think Barack Obama said it really well. Power does not change you. It just shows who you truly are.
Gosh. And I don't want to believe that, Rita. But
it's true.
But it's true. It's and I true. Think that's why people get turned off. Yeah. Is that they're tired and they see the bullshit. There is a lot of bullshit in politics. It's messy. It's chaotic.
There's so much ego. It's complicated.
There's a lot of ego. Yes. Much ego. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying here is that we can talk about it on a national level, on a big stage of politics, Congress, Senate, whatever it may be. But that same toxicity exists even at a local level. Oh, yeah. And I have seen it with the school board of Paso Robles, which has been heartbreaking. And I just, for me, Rita.
Especially considering even the hours you poured in.
People that I thought I knew, Rita. People who I thought I knew. To put them on these platforms to save this school. Oh. And then everyone, not everyone, but most of everyone is pretending that everything is okay. And then that's where the challenges come, that people are not necessarily going to school board candidates or not the candidates, the elected candidates or the elected people. They're coming to Mujeres de Acción. They're coming to me. They're coming to those local leaders saying, you know what, Yesenia? I'm going to this school and we don't have transportation. Mm. We elected these members, Rita, in hopes to create more equity. Tell me why. Mm-hmm. Tell me why the school board voted to remove transportation from San Miguel community, which we have high schoolers that feed into our high school system, remove transportation from this marginalized community. Farm workers, low income, first generation, people are literally having a hard time, y'all, with $40 extra in gas. This is a reality. Once again, we went from this big drama, this big issue of a school closure. They promised us that they were going to provide transportation. Instead of making the problem smaller, they made it bigger, because now they're touching into a whole other school district, a whole different community. Why did the school board, and I want y'all to recognize things for what they are, because what I'm realizing, Rita, is that Facebook profiles and Instagram profiles are not matching up to real people and their real decisions.
Things
are not matching up.
One thing is what they say, and that is the most concerning thing, because if you have candidates right now that are going, already campaigning, everyone is campaigning right now already, right? They're getting like their posts of like, oh, I'm so, you know, special because you elected me and I'm going to go back and do it again. If those people are not picking up your calls, if those people are not meeting with you, if those people are not representing you and your values, guess what? They're not going to represent you after November.
No. And what's really crazy.
So when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And guess what?
Believe them the first time, Rita. As someone who tries so hard to be so optimistic.
I know. I keep bringing you down.
I know. Rita's like the balance for the yin and yang.
You come here so like bubbly and happy. Let's get it. And
then
like,
Rita's like reality check. But the reality is like we go back here that we flip the school board in hopes to prevent situations from happening. And then something like this happens where... Going back to the story about the transportation with the San Miguel community, the board voted to remove transportation from these kids. And where was the invitation to the Latino community to invite them and say, hey, do you guys want transportation? Do you guys need transportation? What options do you guys want? Like, is it okay that we do this? Bringing in the Latino community in, here was a prime opportunity to be proactive. What was our concern, Rita? That these children were not going to have transportation to and from school. Therefore, they were going to drop out and start working. Luckily, by the alignment of the universe, we held a parents know your rights And we had the attorneys come in and educate the parents on how to file complaints. We talked about transportation. We had this meeting after the school board had made this decision. And guess what? I think word got back to the school district because they're now offering some sort of transportation. It's not perfect, but it's something. So this is what I mean, guys, that it's not enough to give an endorsement. It's not enough to say my work is done because they won their election.
Yes.
People are exposed to who they are once they get elected.
Yeah.
And if people are refusing to take meetings, return your emails, And I've found this. I don't know if it's a North County thing or it's all of a SLO County. Because I know Mayor Erica Stewart of San Luis Obispo gets criticized a lot, but she does it with so much grace. Whereas like if someone gets criticized in North County, Rita, people belittle you because now they're making you out to be the problem. They're making
like
you
the
out
person
to be
that criticizes.
Yes.
Oh wow.
And criticize. Yes, they're making you out to be the problem, that you're a bully, that you're combative, you're problematic, that you're an activist.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, if you an elected, and I feel like just the North, I'm gonna focus a lot on the North County, is even the North County has it a bit wrong. And I'm being gracious when I say a bit. the reality is, if you're an elected official, just because I'm asking questions and I'm asking for transparency and I'm asking for clarity does not make me a bully, does not make me an activist, does not make me anything.
It's the same, exact same thing that all these other women of color that are not from the Latino community but have the same experience. Because people ask questions, they shouldn't be made the you know, like evil, or they should not be made like look crazy. They should not be made like problematic. They're just asking for their rights and asking questions about their how their lives are going to be affected, how their community is going to be affected.
But one step back, Rita, just like what you're saying and what I'm saying, is doesn't that confirm the reality that in white spaces, this is so not the normal, that when you have a person of color, whether it's a black mother or an Asian mother or a Latina mother, asking questions, that in these institutions, in these spaces, it's not well received.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not crazy, but it's disappointing. It's sad for sure.
I think it's wild, and I think the more that we do it, the more we will normalize, hopefully, things.
And that's what gives me hope. You know, I was listening to AOC talking to Bernie the other day. And Bernie was saying, like, the difference between... I'm not a Bernie fan. You know, I like some things that he says, but don't color me as a Bernie fan here just because I'm quoting him. Yeah. I want to make sure, not that I disagree, I just want to make sure people are like, oh, I didn't know Rita. No, I'm kind of newer to the political scene. But he did say that early when he was part of the Progressive Caucus, it was just like three people, right? Mm-hmm. It was him, some other guy, and Barbara Lee, right? And it was pretty much a book club, a Noam Chomsky book club at that point, because they didn't have any power at all.
Yeah.
And now you think of the Progressive Caucus and how many people there are in the Senate and the House of Representatives that actually are in the Progressive Caucus pushing for progressive policies, and how the messaging has changed. And, you know, the hopeful part, and something that MLK said, that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Yeah. And I really want to believe that. I know it just sounds really great, but I really want to believe that. And I think that even in the local example of the Paso Robles School District, it is so disappointing to not see that change faster. But I think even having those different people, different looking people, sitting on those seats than what we used to have, which was all white male and maybe one or two white ladies that were repeating what the white male said. Like, it's first, it didn't represent the community at all, and now there's a little bit more of representation. 100% representation is not enough, especially for positions of power. That's why we shouldn't build any statues around Kamala Harris. We shouldn't. We have to keep it realistic. And representation is good, but it's not enough. But my hope is that the next group of representatives, and the next one, and the next one, and the next, and we might have some dips, but I think we are going into that arc of justice, of getting the right people
there. Yeah, it takes time. It takes time.
And it's also building, like, those grass, like, the work that you have done. Mm-hmm. It's disappointing to not see the outcomes right away, but there are outcomes of, like, your involvement, everyone that has been working in North County to get more people, not only to run for office, but to talk about running for office, to put that language in their dinner tables, you know, to make it a dinner table issue where it's like, okay, who's running for office? Oh, did you hear someone's running for office? Oh, did you hear someone is helping someone's campaign? Those conversations were not happening, and it will have a ripple effect, I think, that you might not be hearing about it, but you will see it in like 5-10 years. Like,
huge shout out to Laura Parker, who has been a gracious white ally and has been consistent. And Laura and I have a plan. We have a 10-year plan.
Oh, look at you guys. Rita. Why am I not surprised?
We're only approaching 5 years into this battle. There have been battles that have been won. I think the war was the school closure that was lost, and it's painful, Rita, because
it was so close.
But it's part of the institutionalized racism.
100%.
And so dismantling racism is very, very hard. Mm-hmm. It's very exhausting. And so you always want to look at the silver lining of things, but I also don't want people to be fooled that just because positions have changed and we have made 2 steps forward doesn't mean that if we have the right people there, we can make 20 steps forward.
Yeah.
And I think too, because I'm a person who has standards and doesn't settle for less, I think that's part of my personal frustration is that the community just deserves so much.
Yeah.
And while people are in the comfort of what is their own privilege, that is not necessarily the same comfort that is extended to our BIPOC communities.
100%.
And so I will always be that voice. I will consistently be labeled as a criticizer, but because I see the reality for what it is, and that voice is also needed, because I know that if our work hadn't been done, we wouldn't even have had a portion of the equality or equity portion of these struggles, and the work continues. And you also look at the grieving of the losses that are going to be detrimental, because even if we made a step forward, Rita, and people are better, we're now our Latino community, our historical Black and Brown neighborhood is now going to face even bigger challenges because of this decision.
Yeah.
So just because you fix a few potholes doesn't mean that just because you fix the small potholes and you blew up the bridge, the small potholes doesn't make up for you blowing up the bridge.
And
that's just the reality of things.
And the problem of having candidates that, and this is something that we have to keep in mind with Kamala Harris too, and every candidate below and in the ballot, is that it sometimes can be more detrimental if you have a candidate that has all these hopes and, you know, people put all their hopes and wants and then they disappoint you. It can be very detrimental to the engagement of the community, to how much trust they put in the community. And so we have to just be careful. And that's how you build trust, right? You have to be very careful with what you promise. You have to be very careful with what you say, how you present yourself. Because if you're not going to deliver, guess what? I'm telling you right now from my own experience, if you don't deliver, I'm just not supporting you anymore. And this is why elections are so expensive, right? Because we don't actually represent the people and their needs and spend our budget on freaking missiles and wars rather than education, healthcare, and all our basic needs. We have to invest billions of dollars every single time we want Americans to come out to vote. Guess what? Other countries are not investing billions of dollars to make people come out to vote. Not because they are delivering necessarily more, but because the inequities are not as bad as we see them here in the richest country of the world, right? We're not spending 70% of our budget getting missiles rather than basic services. We have the power to really use money, and to everyone making a decision on big budgets, if you are not prioritizing the community in your budget, then you're just not prioritizing us. I don't care how many ribbons you cut. I don't care how many even community meetings you join. If your budget doesn't align with the needs of the community, and I'm really not interested.
Drop the mic.
Boom. Well, that was our episode for today. Just we're going to continue bringing reality, but also making sure that everyone that is joining the movement kind of, you know, catches up with the Latino community. And so thankful to anyone that's thinking about doing outreach to the community, because it's so needed. Just make sure that when you do it, you're aware. You first have someone that is from the community. And it's going to get harder and harder if you guys keep disappointing us to be part of it. But make sure that you get someone from the community that is culturally competent, that is part of the community that you're reaching out, whatever community that is. And also make sure that you have those people not just with you when you're recording videos to the for the Latino community in Spanish, but that you have them in positions of leadership, that you have them making decisions at the campaign level, if that is the communities that you want to reach out to. And if you yourself don't represent the community that you're trying to represent. But also, make sure that you just keep in mind that there's a lot of history, a lot of emotions, a lot of failed promises before you go out and talk to someone. Because otherwise, it would be naive and you're probably going to fail or say the wrong thing. But please keep doing it.
Yes, do it. Do the research. And make sure there is also a plan for if you do win, right? That it's not just a campaign season, brat season, that right? That the brat season becomes a whole motto, that it actually comes ingrained of who you are and what you want
to
do.
Be ready to win.
Yeah, be ready to win and deliver on the promises.
Yeah. If you, like, if you're telling people, hey, I'm going to build a school, but you are not part of the people that decide that they're going to build a school. Like, just don't promise things that you cannot make, cannot do.
Yeah, or else I'm going to fire away.
Yeah.
I'm going to expose you.
We are this close from naming names. No, just kidding.
No, we won't name names. We won't name names, but I'm sure some of those people are listening to the podcast. So you know who you are.
All I know. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll talk to you soon. Check out our social media, Instagram and Facebook. Leave us a comment. Share the podcast with your friends. And we'll talk soon. Bye.